This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. B. Mitch, I'm Finley, live at the Rude Employee Appreciation Day. Ribs are coming out of the smoker. It's going to be a good time out here, man. Beautiful day outside, too. I mean, seriously. Couldn't get a nicer day. We're going to be joined by Smokin' Al Koken here in just a few minutes. Smoke was obviously part of the monumental coverage last night. Caps Game 5 win over the Montreal Canadiens, the Habs. I just got these odds sent to me. Who do you think's the favorite in this series, B? Washington does have home ice advantage. They get, if it goes seven, they get four games at home. We're going to talk to Al Koken right now. Maybe he could tell us. We're going to get back to the odds in a minute, but Al Koken joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Smoke, how are you, sir? What a win last night.
That was really great, JP. It was, I think, something they absolutely needed. Look, yep. They could have gone back to Montreal and won Game 6. They could have come home and won Game 7. But I think collectively, a little time off will help. But I think more importantly for the confidence of this group, getting that job done in five games the way Florida did it in their series and the way Carolina did it in theirs was pretty important.
Al, last night I was there and I sat and I watched them. And I think that's some of the best hockey they played in a long time where – they were fast. They were heavy. I mean, they played great defense. And then Thompson was unbelievable. Do you agree?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. You know, they talked about it before the game that they needed to play their best game of the series. I still think, B, there's another level they can get to, you know, tighten up a few things. I mean, early on, thought they had a few too many turnovers that made Logan Thompson have to jump into the game pretty quickly. But I agree. You know, you could also see, too, that this Montreal team has got a lot of really good young talent, but one of the strengths of this Capital team all year long, and they're going to need it because they're playing a very similar team in this regard in the next round, Carolina, the Capitals have four lines they can count on. You saw last night at one point Martin St. Louis took Nick Suzuki off his number one line to put him with two other players to try and create a second line. And one of the things, as I said, the Capitals have is four lines that you can get out there. So Carolina plays four lines. You're going to need four lines. And I think you saw it last night where when you get that rotation going, when you get everybody involved in the game, you can see where the Capitals' strengths really lie. And it came to the forefront last night.
Well, you talk about going four lines deep. Getting Protas back certainly helps with that. What did you think? I mean, just the size of that dude on the ice it stands out. But what did you think of his return, and how important is that, especially for this next round?
It's huge, JP. Right off the bat, you watch the first four games, and the Caps did a number of good things. But when he comes in that lineup, that reach of his, when he, you know, on skates, 6'6", that long stick, and then I've always marveled watching the vantage point I have, a great spot there near in the Zamboni corner. And it's always fascinating to watch defensemen on other teams that haven't played Protas. They think they've got a little time to make a play, and then suddenly, I think somebody kind of referred to it like Inspector Gadget. This thing comes shooting out there, and that stick and that long reach, and it pokes the puck free. And he's so good at creating those turnovers, and once he creates the turnovers, he's got the skill to do something with it and the size to hold on to it. So bringing him back into that series, getting him a game before he's got to face a very tough Carolina team, I think was really huge for the Capitals. To be honest with you, I was a little surprised at how many minutes he played, but it was good to get him back into action, and it's going to be a real valuable addition. I don't know if he stays on that line with Dowd and Duhaime. Maybe that's how they start the series and see what happens. But just having him back there gives them another weapon that was missing in those first four games.
Thompson, though, his game last night, man, they tried to press a little bit. The Canadians did, but he just erased all of that.
That's what you need this time of year, right? I mean, you know, a goaltender can cover up for a number of different mistakes and particularly keep a team in it early. The you know, I think at one point I look up at the shot clock, I think it was like 8-1 shots on goal for the Montreal Canadiens, and some of those eight shots were high-quality scoring chances. So Thompson kept them in early before they found their stride. Obviously, the Ovechkin goal really got things going, but absolutely, I mean, you know, whether it's the start of the game to keep them in it or whether it's late in the game to protect that lead, that, you know, goaltending this time of year is magnified. It's such an important position to begin with, but this time of year, you really start to see the difference between elite goaltending and just good goaltending. And to go as far as you need to go, you've got to have elite goaltending. And right now, Logan Thompson is showing you he's capable of doing that. Now, as I said, it's a different animal that they're facing in Carolina. Not only are they a four-line team, but they're a high-volume shot team. They want to shoot from everywhere. They're looking for, you know, deflections, traffic. They're looking for those screens from the point. All those things are going to come into play here. So you're going to see a kind of a different style of play, a different type of team that they're going to face with Carolina. So that's where I think, you know, knowing that Logan Thompson's got everything kind of ramped up, he's going to see more volume of shots too, and that's going to be very, very important for you know, for the Capitals now that he's going to be able to take that next step with a different style of team he's facing.
Talking with our friend Al Koken, Smokin' Al Koken. You can follow him on X at Real Smokin' Al. Of course, Al joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. You can watch all of his work covering the Capitals on Monumental Sports Network, all the interviews, all that stuff down on the ice. Smoke, specifically with Thompson, you know, it was only two games ago. The end of game three, he had to be helped off the ice, and it looked like I was worried it was another head injury after what he dealt with at the end of the regular season. There was a lot of speculation that it was a knee or something. He was back in game four, played, I mean, the glove save he made last night late in the third was incredible. What exactly happened with Logan, and how tough must this guy be? I mean, all these guys, but specifically for a goalie like that.
Yeah, well, I was sharing your concern on either injury, and the way he was being helped off the ice made me think it's a lower leg injury, it's a knee injury, something like that, because it looked like he couldn't put any weight on it. I guess as it turned out, he did admit that he got dinged, but I think it was more about he was a little wobbly. So that's why he needed help off the ice, as opposed to I can't put any weight on my leg. And that, once that was kind of solved, and then when I saw the next day, he was at their practice. Now, he didn't get on the ice, but seeing him at practice, getting treatment, things like that, said to me, if this was another concussion, they would have kept him away from everybody. You know, keep him in your room, keep him in the door. You know, right. As Bee knows, you know, these concussions come in so many different, the symptoms come in so many different varieties, but a lot of it has to do with vision and light and dizziness and things like that. The fact that he was up and walking around with no limp gave me encouragement there, and just seeing him said to me that it wasn't going to be that serious. Because I think he did miss some time, earlier where he wasn't around the team, wasn't on the ice, and that's when I saw him the next day. I was like, man, that's a good sign, although I have to admit, I wasn't 100% sure he was going to be able to go in the next game, and as it turned out, he was able to, and it made a huge, huge difference in the result.
Huge difference. Talking with Al Koken here. You know what's funny, Smoke, is we've talked about Protas and Thompson and all this. Last night, the guy that got it all going, the first goal from the office on the power play, Alex Ovechkin. And it's like, not that we take it for granted, but I don't even, you know, for us to not discuss him until 10 minutes into our conversation or whatever, he's playing. There have been in the past playoff series where Ovi wasn't at his best. Hell, last year against the Rangers, I think he was playing through some injuries. Yeah. He wasn't at his best. He's playing lights out. He had four goals in five games in the first round.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've heard Spencer Carberry kind of talk about it, that he knows how much Alex was disappointed with what happened last year, his performance in what happened last year, and I think that was something that Alex was bound and determined to make sure wasn't going to happen again this year. And yeah, leading by example, I mean, that goal was so massive because, A, it got it really revved the crowd up. It got his team going. I think it put a seed of doubt then in the Montreal Canadiens because that was an instant. That wasn't like late in the power play you get some home. That was literally the first seconds of that power play, and I think that kind of told the Montreal Canadiens, hey, if you think you can kind of run around and be physical with us, guess again, because we're going to make you pay one way or the other. And having four goals now in five games to start the playoffs at 39 years old, you know, that really bodes well. But you can see how last year bothered him, and he was making sure it wasn't going to continue this year, and leading by example in the same way that Tom Wilson has. I mean, both of those guys, when you think about the physicality that they've brought to this series to set the tone, you're going to have to do similar things, try and do the same things if you can. As I said, Carolina's a little different team. They're faster. They really depend so much on their forecheck to get things going. You've got to do the same thing that you try to do with Montreal, though, which is spend more time in their defensive end and wear their D down, and that's where the size of Ovi, the hits he threw in game one to set the tone, had seven hits in that game. That set the tone. He also scored, obviously, the overtime game, you know, the goal he scored there, that set the tone. All those things really come through. Tom Wilson's going to have to kind of have that same impact on the series, because if you allow through the neutral zone against, you know, with Montreal, if you allow through the neutral zone with speed for Carolina, you're in trouble. They've got to be able to contain that, and the best way to do that is make them pay at their own end, make them work defensively to keep you out of their net.
But when you look at it, Al, in your time watching the NHL, Ovi's a goal scorer. But hell, he's hitting as many people as Thomas.
No.
You know,
that's where, you know, you know by playing on teams, and you were a team leader in your own right. There are different ways to be a team leader. Some guys, when they speak up in the locker room, everybody gets quiet, and wow. You know, that's a message from this guy. With Ovi, it's never about the verbal message. It's always about the physical message. If I'm doing this, you've got to do it as well. And when you're the captain of that team and you set the tone there, who's not going to follow? Who's not going to then go and say, well, if he's hitting everybody, I better go out there and do the same thing? That's what's been so great about him over the years. He has a knack for knowing what is needed and when. Is it time to set the tone physically? Boom. Is it time to set the tone with a key goal? Boom. He knows how to deliver in those moments, and the team follows him into battle like that. That's been something that's been consistent with his career. But as it gets a little older, when you see him pick his spots now, during the regular season, you know, we've seen years where he's had many more hits during the regular season, but we've always found him in big games, and obviously in the playoffs, he knows when it's time to bring it. He knows when it's time to remind everybody, I still can get there at 235-240 pounds and literally make you pay the price. And yes, that has an effect in a playoff series, whether it's, you know, it had an effect in game one, but game one was all about if it happens to get to game seven. I've taken a piece of you every single game. You're not going to have much left if we have to get to game seven. And that's what he's always done throughout his career.
Talking with our friend Al Kokin here on the Rude Guest Hotline. If it ain't rude, it ain't right. Al Kokin, always right. Smoke, I did want to ask.
Occasionally rude, but.
I have never seen you be rude. I know that. Maybe Beamich has a different story.
You haven't driven with me, JP. That's what I'm
But, Smoke, I did at least want to ask you this. How about how much everything changed in game four when Tom Wilson laid that dude out?
And decapitated him.
A totally legal hit, too.
And everybody you talk to gives you the exact same answer. Everybody said that last night. I had an on-bench interview right after the game with Dylan Strome. The question I asked him was, what turned this series? And he looks at me, he goes, what do you think? I go, I think it was that hit. And he goes, absolutely. Everybody felt the exact same way. And when you think about it, it's again, we were just talking about the physicality, how you have to use what is your strength. This roster, just like it was in 2018, has been built to have size. Yeah, there's some smaller players on this team. You know, the Mangiapanes, who've been very, very effective, and, you know, Rasmus Sandin isn't the biggest guy in the world. But when you look at it, for the most part, this is still a roster with size and physicality, and yes, you've got to play to your strength. But it was the impact of when it happened, not just that it happened. Down 2-1, you create the turnover, you take a guy, you know, who can't get off the ice in time to get a substitute, and you turn that into an instantaneous game-tying goal and completely flip the momentum around in that game and thus in that series. So it's great to have the impact of a big hit, as we talked about, to, you know, maybe make them pay the price later. But that was one of those moments where the hit paid off instantaneously, and from that point on, everything changed, and there's not a single player on that Capital team that won't point to that as being the changing point in the series.
It seemed like as soon as he hit him, he took the life out of him.
Yeah, totally. The life out of that building.
Yeah. That dude, the dude, when he was trying to get off the ice, Al, he was laboring. He was hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and good for Carrier to come back last night, because there was a concern, because I think he missed practice the day before. So, you know, good on him to come back. But there's no question that the impact of that and what, you know, how do you answer that? You could try and answer it on your own. They've got a guy in Josh Anderson who is kind of like – quote unquote Tom Wilson light, but
he's just a little agitated. He's not tough as Tom.
Right, he's not the same player. I mean, you can think I'm going to go pay somebody else back, but Tom Wilson's impact is not just on the physical side of things. Look at all the big goals he scored. Look at the goal he scored last night. That power play to get it to 3-0. It at 2-0. It's still very much of a game. And obviously at 3-0, when it became 3-1, it's still pretty much a game. But imagine if he hadn't scored that power play goal, and then they get that lucky break to make it a 2-1 hockey game. Then we're talking about a completely different animal. So totally. What Tom Wilson does is just so unique. He's not just a one dimensional player. And I thought what Spencer Carberry said earlier in the series is so true. He says the reason so many people hate him is because you're jealous that you don't have him on your team, because 100%. He truly is unique to the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and absolutely, that's exactly what it is. Dude's a bad man, bro.
Smoke, do we know when we'll get the Caps schedule for the second round?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be this afternoon or something like that. I think a lot of this has to do with I don't think they want to get too far ahead of everything. For example, if let's say they said, okay, we'll let you guys start on Sunday. Well, what happens if there's a game 7 with Toronto and Ottawa? Okay. Well, then that would push the Florida and then the winner of that series back. And then what happens if there's some game 7s in the West? There's a lot of 3-2 series out there, but they could easily turn into 7-game series. So do you really want the Capitals and Carolina to start playing hockey where none of the other series have started yet? So I think that's a little bit about what the league is kind of waiting to see. You don't want to get one series so far ahead of everybody else. And I think that's kind of what they're waiting to see. If Toronto wins tonight, I think you'll hear something pretty quickly.
Okay, gotcha. And then lastly, Smoke, just switching gears a hair, because I know how much sports in this city you have covered. I was just curious kind of what you thought by the Commanders' announcement of their intentions to move back to RFK.
Delighted. I couldn't be happier. I understand there's a ton of obstacles, and I understand, you know, politics is going to come into this. But as somebody who, you know, when I first started working in this industry, working at Channel 5, working with the tremendous Bernie Smilovitz, one of the things I got to do was go down and cover the Redskins at RFK. And I'll never forget being there for that Dallas playoff game and being on the field, on the sidelines, and turning around and watching the stadium literally vibrate in front of me. And the enthusiasm and the passion and knowing that it was in your hometown, not in a suburb, it was in Washington, D.C., that meant something. And I couldn't be happier that it looks like that franchise is coming back to Washington, D.C. It's tremendous, and I hope They can work all the little side angles out. I understand. I'm somebody who looks at it as saying, I knew what the Chinatown area was before A. Poland, and to his credit, put a ton of his own money into it. I knew what that area was like. I know what it was like at Nats Park before Nats Park got there. I'm one of those people who sees the positives in these things. I see how areas completely develop around these new ventures. So when I hear people say, well, this city can't afford to put $1 billion in when we can't fix this and that, and we need money for this. I get all that, and that all makes sense. But I also see what happens when those same arguments were made about now Capital One, and specifically about Nats Park. You and I were working with Coach Thompson, right, when we were going through all of this stuff about we had politicians, how dare they? The schools need this. I get all that. But when you look at what has transformed around Nats Park, you're telling me that the city hasn't benefited many, many times over from the money they laid out for Nats Park by what they've gotten back in the development and the tax revenue and everything else that goes around with it. I think it's going to be the same thing with the new stadium on the old RFK site.
All right.
Al,
he called you Doc. I mean, he called you Doc.
Man. I was just looking at the show sheet. I'm sorry.
if I'm compared to the great DOC, that's a compliment.
You guys look a lot alike. So give me a break. I think B. Mitch and I are both choosing to look at this through an optimistic lens and with a growth mindset, and it seems like you're doing the same. Thank you for the time, man. I know you're swamped, and can't wait to watch the next game.
Yeah, because this series is going to be as intense as this was. It's about to double up, so get ready, folks. It's going to be great.
All right, brother.
Absolutely. That is Real Smokin' Al Kokin joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Give him a follow at Real Smokin' Al. When we come back, you get to hear from Commanders' fourth-round wide receiver, Jalen Lane. Remember this song, B? I think his band was called Len. Is that right, Lanville?
I don't remember that.
Steal My Sunshine, right? L.A.T. It was kind of a banger when I was like high school, college-y. All right, one crazy thing just happened. We're live out at the Rude Employee Appreciation Day picnic. The barbecue has been served. Heavy Metal Chris has an astonishing amount of meat on his plate. Like, not that any of us are taking it easy on the meat, but Heavy Metal Chris loves meat. And we're right next to Andrews Air Force Base, or I guess it's now Joint Base Andrews, right? Yeah. And we heard this like, and this, I mean, that's got to be a transport plane, right? I mean, that joint.
C-17.
I don't know what that means. This is the biggest plane I've ever seen, and I swear it was 100 yards over our heads.
Yeah.
And it was banking to see it like turning like
that. Yeah, you got to go land, bro.
Hey, man, you got to land.
Yeah.
Speaking of land, let's go to Lane. Jalen Lane was the Commander's fourth-round pick, a wide receiver with serious speed, also punt return skills. I don't think he's just a straight nine-route guy. I think he can help you in the slot, running routes. You got to temper your expectations. I see some fans going nuts already. I had a great conversation with Jalen Lane. I think you're going to enjoy it. Really appreciate getting to talk to one of the newest Commanders, Jalen Lane. Jalen, thanks for making time for us, dude. What was it like getting that phone call, you know, finding out you're going to the NFL and you're going to play in Washington?
Yeah, man, it was amazing. You know, I was around, you know, my close family, close friends and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a call you always dream about. And, you know, you always think about, dang, what am I going to say? What are they going to say? Who's going to be calling me? But it's just like, you know, it's one of those moments that you just try to cherish and, you know, just be in the moment for. And it's definitely one of the greatest experiences I've had.
I bet, man. I can only imagine. I'm curious. So you're from the Carolinas, and then you played college ball in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech. Now, none of that is D.C., right? But before the Panthers, there were a whole lot of Redskins fans down in the Carolinas. And the Hokie crowd certainly intersects with the Commanders crowd. Have you ever been a fan of the Burgundy and Gold, or do you have any family or friends?
I've never, like, growing up, I wasn't a fan, but I got a lot of family members that are fans, and a lot of people in Blacksburg I know are Washington fans. So, yeah, I got a lot of support, for sure.
That's great. And
obviously you return punts in college at a really good level. About 10 yards a return, is that right?
Yeah, that thing's about right there, yeah.
Pretty good, dude. is that a job you're excited for on the next level?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, punt returning, you know, I feel like it's a great asset that I bring to the table. And, you know, I'm ready to, you know, make some plays in that burgundy and gold.
I don't know if you saw the video. After they put the pick in and they got you, Commander Special Teams Coach Larry Izzo, they posted a video where he was very visibly fired up. He was very excited, I think. Did you and Izzo talk in this process at all? Do you know him?
I haven't met him yet. You know, I talked to obviously Coach Ingram, Coach Coleman, mm-hmm. and, you know, things like that. But I haven't met him yet. I'm excited to meet him. And I'm glad he was excited to get me. That made me feel good.
How would you describe your game?
Yeah, I feel like I'm very versatile. You know, I'm, you know, a yards after the catch kind of guy. I'm also a vertical threat, I feel like. And, you know, I just feel like I'm a very dynamic and explosive. You know, get the ball in my hands. You know, the first man, I'm guaranteed to make him miss. And after that, you know, I'm going to get busy. So that's how I describe me.
Do you, as a receiver, do you like working out of the slot? Do you like being on the outside? Do you have a preference?
Honestly, both. Like, you know, Virginia Tech, I played mostly slot. But before I transferred there at Middle Tennessee, I played mostly outside. So, you know, I'm very comfortable at either. And, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, where I fit in the offense.
Well, I think a big part of why Washington, in since Adam Peters has taken over the front office, they really seem to lean into athletic scores. Your athletic scores are just nuts, frankly. I mean, a 40-inch vert with a 4.3 speed and the burst and the 10-yard and the shuttle, all of it is nuts. How old were you when you realize, like, all right, I'm the best athlete in gym class, or I'm the best athlete in middle school? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I played baseball growing up, and, you know, I was always the fastest one on the team. You know, I always bat first, so I get on base and steal. And then, you know, I get to high school. I was kind of smaller than everybody else. So I'm like, dang, I'm smaller than everybody. I got to be faster. So, you know, I started running track, got faster, and then, probably by my, like, senior year, that's when I realized of high school, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a pretty good athlete. You know, I was kind of coming into my body finally a little bit, and, you know, I was just faster and just more explosive. So that's kind of when it set in for me.
When you were playing baseball, are we talking little league, like middle school, high school? What are we talking here?
I stopped playing when I got to high school. So I played, like, from – that was the first sport I played at, like, 3-4 years old, like T-ball and then yeah. up. Like eighth grade.
So you're on the base path. Did you ever get thrown out trying to steal?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't recall. I don't have any memories in my mind.
I can't imagine a seventh grade catcher can throw you out with the speed you have.
Nah, I don't think so.
So you're listed at 5'10". I don't know if you take issue with that or if that sounds correct. Can you dunk?
Oh, yeah. You know, I can dunk all vert, like, just standing there.
I figured you could. It's why I asked. I didn't want to set you up for a question there. But that's I'm 5'11 and definitely cannot, just for coming here. I got some years on you, though. Once upon a time, I could touch the rim, barely.
What's up?
Coming to town, rookie minicamps next week. What does that mean for you? What do you need?
I'm excited, you know, getting in town, get familiar. You know, I've obviously been in the DMV area before. Virginia Tech, we played in the Military Bowl in 2023. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, seeing the area and stuff like that. But, yeah, I'm excited to, you know, come in and, you know, meet the whole staff, you know, meet everybody else I'm coming in with and, you know, get to work. You know, you want to be coming into a great quarterback situation, and that's what you know, we got here in Washington. And, you know, it'd be cool to meet him, cool to meet the other guys, and I'm definitely excited.
I saw in an interview with Kay Adams, you said Terry McLaurin's one of your favorite receivers in the NFL. You were saying that before you knew you were coming here.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Terry at all?
No, I haven't. I'm It'll be cool to meet him as well, obviously. But yeah, I'm just, you know, excited to get to work, man. So
well, and Debo's a South Carolina guy, right?
Yep.
Any relationship there? Or just excited to get to meet him.
I've met him before, and especially my dad. He's a high school football coach. He actually coached against him in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, he went to Debo went to Chapman, and so like that. So no, yeah, it's cool. You know, just having that South Carolina lineage and, you know, bringing that to DMV. It's just exciting, man. I'm excited.
I bet. My South Carolina lineage, I have an aunt and a bunch of cousins in North Myrtle Beach.
Oh,
North and Myrtle. I like to go to this restaurant called Crab Catchers where they have fried corn. You ever had fried corn?
Yeah, I have. I love fried
corn. It's banging.
Yeah.
Where does your pop coach?
He's coaching at Westside in Anderson right now.
And where did Debo go?
He went to Chapman. But when my pops, when he coached against them, he was at Woodrow. My pops, he's coached at about 5 different schools, I believe, just over the last 20 years. So, yeah.
What's it like to grow up with your dad as a football coach?
Honestly, I feel like it's a lot. It's been amazing. Obviously, like growing up, I was just immersed in the game at a young age, you know, being around them. You know, I remember, you know, just being with them in meetings. I'm like 6, 7 years old. Not knowing really what's going on, but just being around the game. And, you know, he's coached me in high school, which, you know, looking back, I'm so glad he did, because he was easily the hardest coach I've ever had on me, just because, you know, he wanted to make sure that, you know, everything I got to earn, you know, people are going to say, you know, you're only getting targets because your dad's the coach, this and that. But, you know, he told me the other week, he said, you know, they definitely can't say that anymore. So, yeah.
I think you've proven that false, certainly. Last thing, just, you know, Jaden Daniels, Terry, Debo, like there's all this really cool Zach Ertz. I don't know. You'll get to meet him. Have you, since you've been drafted, have you started watching this offense, or do they send you a playbook, any of that? Like, how do you start to immerse yourself in what Washington does?
It's funny. Like, you know, I this past season, you know, this is like, you know, I always watch the NFL, but like last season, like, I was really watching, like, you know, pretty much every Sunday, just because, you know, I'm like, this is where I'm, you know, in a year's time, I want to be on this field. And, you know, I probably watch the Commanders almost every week just because, you know, they're a really good team. You know, I want to watch really good teams and just seeing them play. And, yeah, they're sending me my iPad so I can go and get started and things like that. Nowhere hop on Zoom meetings and stuff. But, yeah, I'm just really excited, man, and, you know, excited to play in this offense, excited to play for this team and, you know, put on for the DMV, put on for Washington.
That's awesome, man. Hey, Jalen, thank you for the time, man. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I'll introduce myself next week in person at Rookie Camp.
Let's do it. Appreciate right. you.
Thanks very much, Jalen. Take care, man.
You too.
Thank you to Jalen Lane for giving us some time. Impressive young man. Obviously, you got to see what happens on the field.
Yeah.
No, nobody knows anything yet, but – you can't help but feel that the human that Peters and Quinn seek out, where
yeah,
you know, they earned everything. They're not scared of competition. I mean, Jalen Lane started, I believe, at Middle Tennessee State. Like, this was not a high powered recruit
yeah.
that Virginia Tech got in. They had him transfer over. But it's a young man that has earned everything he's gotten.
And I think the thing about it, when you heard him say that his dad was a coach, and I think most people automatically assume, you're showing favoritism when your dad's a coach. Nah. Your dad is tougher on you than he is anybody else, because he don't want anybody to say that. You know, so I think you got a guy who's going to be who's battle-tested, who's earned his. You know, like you said, didn't start off right there. He had to transfer over there. So I'm looking forward to meeting him, talking to him, and then watching him perform.
Hell yeah. Now, you said the word battle-tested. When I think of battle-tested, I think of Rude HVAC equipment, because it is the best and most precise you can get. And when I think of battle-tested, I think of Paul Henry.
Yeah.
This is a dude that has done a ton of work at my house, a ton of work at your house, done all my windows, all my doors. And those windows and doors in the D.C. weather, between extreme cold and extreme heat,
yeah.
and it seems to never stop, just going back and forth, those Paul Henry window installation, battle tested and a half. All month long, you get 10% off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off each door.
You've heard me talking for years about Paul. He came to my house. He changed every window. He changed every door. He does other stuff for me now. And I keep going back to him because he's absolutely terrific. Paul does a great job when he comes in. Don't have to keep coming back because the first time he gets it done, he does it right. That's what you want from anybody that's coming to your house and taking care of stuff. You get them. I told JP about him. JP has stuff with him. And when you begin to have that word-of-mouth type situation, you know you're doing something good. So reach out to Paul right now, and you receive 10% off each window with the 5-window minimum and 10% off each door. Contact Paul Hinges Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitch and Finley sent you. PaulHingesWindows.com. You're clear home improvement choice.
Holy moly. Two really good conversations here in the last hour. If you missed any of our talk with Al Koken, get on the podcast. You can hit it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And then got to talk to Jalen Lane, Commander's fourth round rookie wide receiver.
I'm impressed by that kid.
Me too, man. I had the same feeling. And I kind of be with their draft picks and even the guys they sign, but definitely the draft picks because they're coming in young and new to this.
Yeah.
I've entered a place where I kind of expect to be impressed. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
They obviously the most important is football ability and then athleticism, but the human matters a lot to these guys.
Well, I try to when we start talking about this a lot of times where, you know, people always talk about how young athletes are and all that, I always tell you the athlete has been through more experiences than the average person. So I expect them to be mature. I expect them to have a better understanding of things because what happens is when you're a very good athlete, you get invited into arenas that you don't ordinarily get invited to. And I would think that those people pick up on the stuff that they've gone through. Because most athletes want to learn. They want to be coached. And they are coachable. So when I hear guys like a Jalen Lane, like Jaden Daniels last year, I expect it. But then I'm super impressed when I see that they do things without the guidance. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That impresses me even more. And I was thoroughly impressed by that kid, as I am about Jaden. And I don't make excuses for young guys. Not when you're an athlete, because you are ending up at banquets and things and around people that are normally very, very successful.
Yeah.
And if you don't pick up something from those people, that's your damn fault.
Sure.
You know, I can tell you this. When I was younger, my dad told me one day, I came back from an event. He was like, "What did you learn?" And I'm like, "What you mean?" He said, "I can't teach you everything. A lot of these people you're going around know more than I do." He says, "So absorb something from everybody you meet." And I'm impressed to see young guys getting that.
That is great advice. Yeah. While we're talking about the rookies, I think this is Matt Miller. I don't know. It's from ESPN.com, listed the top 100 picks from the draft.
Okay.
Now, their premise is not like, you know, one was Cam Ward, two was Travis Hunter, three was Abdul Carter.
Who they think?
The top value picks for where you drafted a guy. So number one, they have the Bears getting Luther Burden, receiver out of Mizzou in the second round. And so it's kind of like that.
Scooped.
He's got all the tools. There's questions about off-field stuff, and you know what? The questions will get answered.
Yeah.
We'll find out together.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Eagles getting Jahad Campbell at 31 is on here.
Maya was impressed with him. You know, Maya was at the rookie symposium.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Oh, Jahad got drafted by the Eagles." She really liked it. If my daughter likes somebody, they were very impressive because she don't like rude-ass people. And they had to be yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Like, she'll tell them, I'm not older than you, but she's impressed by people that have manners.
I know Saban's not there anymore, but Bama typically gets good kids that are incredible football players. Keep scrolling down the list, though, and I wanted to point this out. The 12th best pick, according to these like value metrics, Trey Amos, Washington Commanders, the cornerback that a lot of people had as a first-rounder who Washington was able to take with the 61st overall pick. I'm reading now from
Steel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading now from ESPN.com. I had Amos as a round one possibility to the Commanders in my final mock draft because of the need for a physical press corner. Instead, they were able to get him at the end of round two. Amos's ability to win at the line of scrimmage and be physical will allow him to shine opposite Marshon Lattimore. Adam Peters, dude, he either doesn't answer something or doesn't lie. And when Peters said, if Connerly wasn't there, we probably would have taken Amos at 31. Like, the fact that reporters are saying that they thought he was a possibility there, or at 29, rather, like, it's just, that's real. Like, yeah. He's telling the truth.
Yeah.
And the Amos pick, listen, Lane's going to be the most exciting because he's a skill position guy and he's got crazy speed. Connerly's the first rounder, so that gets the most attention paid to it. My favorite pick in this draft was Amos because if you take a dude at 61 and you know you're basically ending your options to trade back and get more picks. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they couldn't have traded back in the sixth to get another sixth and another seventh. But of the real valuable picks, of the Friday night picks, you take that pick at 61, you're not getting anything else.
Yeah.
They knew it. They did it. They liked the kid.
Because they liked him. Right. And I think Adam stated that when we get to a position, we're going to see where we stand.
Right.
If we like the person, if somebody we want is high on our board, we're going to take them. And I have seen I saw one thing where it said the steal of the draft was him, was Amos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, this is us talking right now, but we'll see. And I believe the guy going to be able to work. He's going to work hard because he's from Louisiana. That's what we do.
All right. Speaking of what we do, it's Thursday, Brian.
Yeah.
It's Thursday. And what we do on Thursday is come together as a group of people, as a congregation,
yes,
as a fellowship.
Wow.
And we say bleep you
to
whoever deserves it.
Yeah.
So whoever has wronged you. Whether it be an inanimate object like a misplaced stop sign, a parking ticket, which I got, by the way, whatever it is that has offended you.
You and Jeff got to stop hanging. You start to get like him.
Yeah, my total is decimal points different than Jeff's total.
Yeah, but you got tickets on the street that he's gotten a lot on.
Yeah, J-Dog's forever.
J-Dog's forever, I see.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It is time for Bleep You Thursday. Anybody here at the Rude Employee Appreciation Picnic that wants to bleep somebody, fire away. We got a microphone for you. Let's do it.